CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Misfit Toys.
Hey, how are you? You are? You're good? Yeah? Nice. Nice, nice, nice. By the way, I had to cancel Helium in Indianapolis in August. Sorry. For some press for 10-year-old Tom. Yes. We'll reschedule. Still coming to Canada. Toronto in August. I'll get you the details on that. And in Los Angeles. August 9th at 10 o'clock at Typewriter Dynasty, me and the great Cam Kavinsky. The way they're advertising it is Glass and Kavinsky. It's got a little ring to it. It's got a little ring to it. That's really it. Today was fun. Today's show. You're going to love it. Have you been to Levitt's? Oh, well, you're going to love it. Have you been to Levitt's? You have? Did you love it? Great. I really think that's it. There's nothing much. You know, we got it all covered in the show. I'm so used to coming on, you know, doing my intro to the show. When I don't do it, I think you miss it. I get a lot of emails. People go, oh, I need that. I need it. Well, I have my coffee. Hey. And by the way, happy birthday to you. To you. You know who I'm talking to. Oh, shut up. All right, ladies and gentlemen, as they say in the business, we now join the Todd Glass Show, already in progress.
Wow, what an event. First times for a lot. Last week it was the first time by myself. And by the way, I now have a thing that goes from a mic cord right into my cell phone. And Joe McKenzie, I want to apologize to you for last week. And that goes right from the mic, boom, right into the phone. No adapters. That will never happen again. Guess who? Well, our guest is going to be here in about a half an hour. Neil Nanda. I'm always afraid I'm going to say his name wrong. But guess who? I'll give you one hint. I can only give you one hint. I'm not going to... Not no bullshit. Who do you think is here? I'll give you one hint. Listen up, folks, because I'm not joking around. It's not where, you know, Vinny, you listening? There's one person sitting across from me. We've never just been us. You might feel differently. I will ask you once you can talk. But I don't think it's ever been just me and this person sitting across from me. Honestly, I'll give you one hint, and then you tell me if you can guess.
Aristotle! Aristotle! Aristotle!
Listen closely.
Hey,
play it again. Play it again. I want people to listen close. Okay, who do you think it is? It's Aristotle, everybody.
Who could it have been?
Wow. It's just me and you.
Yeah.
I like to make an event out of things. But has it ever been just me and you?
I don't think so, but it
seems weird that it hasn't.
Yeah, but it's also all just kind of blurring the times that we've just talked off the podcast. Like, even part of this doesn't really feel like the podcast right now.
Well, let me tell you something. Maybe I was taking you for granted in the old days. That's why I never had you. Because now I miss you. Now I'm like, I was like, Aristotle, come on. We'll do it. It was just going to be me and you. But then Neil texted me, and I'm like, oh, we'll do Aristotle for an hour.
Always texting that, Neil.
Always texting. We're going to talk to him about that.
Can I be on the show?
Can I? Please, Todd. Please. Oh, shit. Let me do that. Give that again. These drops are important.
Oh shit!
Can you press and hold that Aristotle and see? Does it give you? Is the volume all the way up?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Hi Aristotle.
Hello Todd, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I gave you some apple chips.
They were very good. Yes.
Isn't it weird? No! What the fuck? I lifted the bag out of the trash, but it was upside down. Isn't it weird that I guess because apple chips. There's someone once said that, you know, like if something's not frozen, it's good if it's frozen because you know how it's staying fresh. If it's in a can, okay, there's some chemicals in there. But this is in a bag, but it's apple chips, but there's no read on the back. Like, what is there saturated fat or be careful?
Hold on, we ripped it right like in the middle of the ingredients. It's just apples, canola oil, corn syrup, and citric acid. But I'm pretty sure it's because they're dehydrated apples.
Right.
Which gets rid of the moisture, which means no mold can grow on them.
Would you say that, because sometimes you can go, okay, it's not healthy, it's just less bad, because there's some corn syrup.
I think it's, I guess I wouldn't say healthy, but
right.
It's better than potato chips.
Better, much better than potato chips. So you consider it healthy junk food. But there are some things. What's something that you think that is so healthy? It actually is healthy, but you like it a lot as a can, as a snack.
Apples and peanut butter. Peanut butter does have a lot of sugar, but that's.
Well, can I tell you something?
I do a lot. You know what I do as a. I think we've talked about this
bananas
before.
Bananas and honey?
Bananas and peanut butter and chocolate chips. I don't need the chocolate chips, but I just like adding them in for texture.
Frozen? Did you ever freeze the bananas? Not frozen,
them not for this. I freeze the bananas because that's how you can't. I've only done it twice. But banana ice cream.
Yeah, that's what.
You put it in the blender and you maybe add some cocoa powder. Now you've got chocolate ice cream. And it's just as good as any.
You know what? I'm not kidding you. There's an art to some of these things, what you're talking about. If you can make it and whip it up and then put it back in the freezer for 20 minutes and you have a little bit of patience. But the banana. Only thing I noticed, now with the blender I had, it wasn't the worst blender, you don't want to keep adding moisture, like whatever you would add, a little milk, because then it's, so you got to just wait it out.
Yep.
And it seems like it's spinning, but eventually it'll stay thick. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, I have added milk just for that little bit more loose creaminess, but yes, it's that, like, well, just gotta, let's see, it'll get there.
Yeah. And then if you have patience to put it in the freezer, I agree with you on that one. A lot of things you're like, well, it's not as good, but it's doing the job. But when I've done that, the bananas, and you're right, I say it serves as vanilla, because if you put some cocoa powder in there, it tastes like chocolate, maybe with a hint of banana.
Exactly.
But not that much. Like, you could almost cover the banana up if you wanted to, right?
Yep. Save so much money on ice cream because I just buy the bananas.
Yeah, and you know what I try to do? Am I talking normal? Am I okay?
Yeah.
Hello? I try to get the bananas when I'm going to make ice cream with them as almost where they're not eatable anymore. You got to peel them so carefully.
They just mush in your hand.
Yeah, but if you peel them carefully, you can get them in the freezer and make some banana ice cream. Have you ever seen that machine? you put it in, and then it custard comes out. Some things, do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't think so.
You never seen the infomercial for that?
A custard machine?
It's a teeny little machine, and you go put fresh fruit in, and then it's got an electric motor, and then it grinds out. Well, I'm sure it doesn't work as good as in the commercial, but in the commercial, it looks like, you know, like right out of like a Dairy Queen, like, but it's not. But it's.
I've not. But one of my roommates, I have two roommates, was talking about buying an ice cream machine. I was like, we have a blender. We have a blender and we have bananas. We don't
an ice cream machine. That would be dangerous.
Yeah.
Does he want, like, how much does an ice, do you even know what an ice cream machine costs?
It's probably not that much now. There's lots of, you know.
Little minier thing. Now, I'm thinking of, like, when I worked at Dairy Queen, the big custard machine.
Oh, no, not like that. Like a little one.
Yeah. Oh, I know what you mean. I'm thinking, I know what you mean. Yeah. Oh, they're not. You can get those, a good one the size of a bucket.
Exactly, yeah.
But, yeah.
I have a bucket. We just put the bananas in there.
Watch your mouth. Say I have a bucket again, and then give yourself a little oh shit.
I have a bucket.
Oh. Jesus. Oh shit! Oh, I don't know how Cam does that on the road. I'm about ready to take the film off of it. Because maybe the film...
Okay, yes.
I'm not 100% positive. But now on the... Because oh shit! Oh, he shit. Rarely... I guess I wouldn't know if he missed. Because I just wouldn't hear anything.
There's also... I guess that makes sense. This film that's on the iPad, that is, I'm not slow to it. It's just I have to press it a few times.
Fuck them up! I was, if you're tuning in now with us, ladies and gentlemen, midst of the Todd Glass Show, I'm sitting down with Aristotle. We're talking and we're waiting for Neil Nanda.
Nanda.
I know him so well. I really like him. He's a good guy and I'm really excited that he's going to be here. But back to what you were saying. Oh, so just sometimes I listen to the show later and I realize, Todd, you need to finish sentences. What we were referencing is when you press the iPad, there's a soundboard on there and maybe there's a cover on it, you know, like part of the you know, the thing you put on it to protect it if it falls. I'll just go with the border. I'll take the cover off. But on the road, when Cam does it, he probably does have it sometimes but I don't know because I'm not looking at him. I just wouldn't hear the drop. With you, I can see. Like, and with me this afternoon, I was like... What the fuck?
On full display, my inability to touch.
No, believe me, I was doing it last night in here. I'm like, what? Why is this so? This is not right. I don't think it is right. I want to try taking the film off of it. You know what? I'm going to leave myself a message right now because I don't want to do it during the show. But who knows? That could fix something that you've been dealing with for literally 2 years on the road. So hold on. Let me make a message. Try taking the
Todd is making a
cover.
Message.
Try taking the cover off the iPad to see if it makes touching it a little more. When he turns it off on the road, he always uses the volume on the little mixer he has behind his keyboard because then I need the cutoffs to be absolute.
Yeah.
So he just does that, and then he always remembers to turn the volume back up. Anyway, all right, enough with that. Oh, what we were just saying, you could do that with strawberries too, obviously.
Oh yeah.
But you can't make that another flavor.
Right.
It's too pronounced.
Maybe you could add something to it, but
yeah.
I also just don't like strawberry ice cream.
Oh, you don't? Can I tell you what I like?
Yes.
I like to get sometimes a strawberry milkshake from McDonald's, but then a cup of just a McFlurry without anything in it, so a cup of custard. And somehow taking a spoon. They're different consistencies, a cup of the custard, you know, the McFlurry, and then the strawberry, which is a lot looser, I guess you would say. And it's so good, but you don't like strawberry.
Yeah, there's something about strawberry flavor that I don't like. I love strawberries.
Oh, fresh strawberries.
But
well, then you can make fresh strawberry ice cream.
But then I feel like once that happens, I'm like, well, I'm not going to like this anymore. It's also basically sorbet, right?
Right, right. That's what I did last night. I got lemon sorbet and vanilla ice cream. And I did the same thing. I put the vanilla ice cream in the microwave for 15 seconds. And then I took a cup and I put half lemon sorbet. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
And then half of the vanilla. Still ice cream, but very smooth.
Oh, shit! Oh,
and
shit!
It was very clean and great. It was really good. Guess what? Vinny... I said, Vinny, do you have a question for Aristotle?
Hold on, I got to keep my eye on the phone because I told Neil, text me when you're parked. Oh, what did he write? He wrote some already. Hold on.
Todd is checking his phone.
I'm a little early. Let me know when to pop back.
Okay.
I'm going to say, well, let's just,
Tell him to go to the 7-Eleven and get us some Skittles.
You don't have to. 8 on the dot. Tonight's going to be fun. Glad you're here.
But you're saying Vinny.
No, that's to Neil. Oh, Vinny. So, Vinny. Hey, Vinny, I heard you don't come around Dom Irera's house anymore. So I said, what's a question you have for him? So he asked what your favorite pup song is and why, and play it tonight during the show. Good question, Vinny. Tell him it's a good question.
I'll edit this out.
Do me a favor.
It almost feels leading.
Will you do me a favor? And I'll edit this out, I swear.
Of course.
Vinny's been a little, you know, he just needs a little pep up. I'll mention it. You go, okay. Todd, that's a great question. Why are we moving past it? We'll edit this out,
more
I swear to God.
Got it.
Right, let me just go into it. Really pour it on. Like, that's just a good question. And it's a two-parter, and then I get...
Fuck him up!
So, oh, Vinny.
Yeah.
Vinny sent a question in, and his question
oh,
is...
Oh, shit! Oh,
his
shit!
Question
can't
is
believe
this.
Such a thoughtful man sending in questions.
Well, and he said, what's your favorite pup song?
Oh, shit! Oh,
and
shit.
Why?
Oh, shit! Oh,
and also play it later in the show.
Oh, shit! Oh,
great
shit.
Fucking question.
All right, it's not that. All right, let's move on. It's not
no,
that great.
No. Vinny is clearly the steerer of this ship. He's leading the show from the shadows.
You know what? You might be right. I didn't think about it that way.
Oh, shit!
Wow, look at Vinny. What if we left that in? Wouldn't that be embarrassing?
Oh,
he's like, oh, that was disingenuous. Yeah. Let me take a picture with my phone so I don't forget to edit that out.
Yeah, please.
We left it in once a long time ago, and somebody heard it, and I felt horrible. I was trying to make someone feel better. And I said, just go off on how cool his hats are. And not you, Katie, left it in. No big deal, just by accident. And the person's like, oh, my God. So hold on, let me get a picture here. I hope I do this right. I know one thing I'm good at is overdriving a bid home.
I mean, I really have to sell that. It's a terrible question.
That would be
like that's. It's an obvious question.
Okay, so what is your favorite pup song?
My favorite pup song is off. It used to be Dark Days because it's such a. All of them are great songs. Dark Days is a great fucking song, but on the new album, it's gonna seem sad. It's not sad. I swear to God. And it's been great. But the new album came out and there's a song on there called Totally Fine that like hit every nail on the head of what I was feeling at the time. So much so that I went out and got the words Totally Fine tattooed on my chest. Just because it was like, even without the song, I say Totally Fine all the time to myself and everyone else that I thought this is
totally
fine. This is my mantra.
Well, that's it's funny because you're like, is it okay if we come over? Oh, it's totally fine.
Totally fine. Oh, I can't make it tonight. That's totally fine.
So if I don't even worry about it because we were gonna go there anyway without. So don't feel
Are
bad
you sure
or
you're
anything.
Okay? Yeah,
oh my
yeah,
God,
I'm totally
fine.
Yeah.
You know what we realized, me and Cam, that we say more now is the thing, the other drop you play a lot.
Oh, shit!
We
oh,
go,
shit!
Wait, are we saying that because we hear it on the show, or is that a common... I think we said it anyway before, but anyway. Yeah. So, and why, sort of, you explained it.
Yeah, just, it's a lot of... Now I'm embarrassed because in this moment, I can't remember the lyrics.
That's okay. That doesn't... That's like when I see a comedian... When I first started to see comedy and I love them and I couldn't remember their name, to be honest, maybe one or two of their jokes, but I did love them. It's just, yeah, that's embarrassing. I didn't want to make a big deal. I came up with that. No, I tried to distract. And we'll play it later. Do you think that we will remember to play it later or do you think you'll forget?
I think I'll remember, especially if we
take a break. Why don't you set something on your phone? Because, you know, Vinny will get very upset. And then he writes letters to corporate, which is so... I talked to him about it. Yeah, I know. Dear Chris Hardwick, is Todd supposed to be, you know, this? Or is Todd supposed to be that? Or is, you know, Todd supposed to... Is he supposed to do cross promotions with other shows?
I think you should leave. Got season three. I think you should leave. Got season three. Oh, Tim Robinson, cross promotion. I think you should leave. Got season three. Oh,
Bop, bop. All right. So listen.
Start making notes now.
I hate this. I think I have a tooth in the back. I'm going to go to the dentist tomorrow. Maybe my night guard is irritating my gums, and the teeniest bit can make your breath not feel. I've gone through three tins of Altoids just tonight.
Was it something you ate, maybe?
No, I didn't eat anything. No, I think it's... It could be in my head. Only one time in the last... Vinny's probably going, yeah, it's not what I remember. But I had damp breath.
Oh, shit.
What? What'd you say?
Oh, shit! Oh, shit!
What's the furthest you took your motorcycle out so far?
Oh, right. A few miles. It was... It wasn't the video I sent you, but after that, I rode a little bit further out. Still not on the freeway, but I rode it on some bigger streets, and that was... fun. I rode in the center lane of a three-lane, like, big street that's in Pasadena. And then as I was riding, I was like, this is nice. This is easy. I was like, oh, right. I'm already paying attention. I'm not distracted. I got a little lost in the moment of enjoying it that I was like, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to be watching these other cars so that they don't...
Right, right. Defensive driving.
Yeah, I was like, I took a break for a moment to just enjoy this. I was like, nope, this is why I'm practicing right now.
I saw the video that
I
you sent me.
I sent a video, yeah.
If I had a beefed up... can you bring those, the biggest scooters? There's ones that are more legitimate. There's like a cool place, big place to put your feet. What are they called?
Like a Vespa.
A Vespa? Are there different sizes of them? Because I could swear I saw one that looked like it was just a little meteor.
Yeah. I think you can buy different engine sizes and stuff, but I don't believe they are built as powerful as motorcycles can be powerful.
Right, right. Can you bring any Vespa out on the highway? Not that I'd want to.
I don't think Vespas, no. I think they have to be
off
a certain...
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Certain engine power.
You know, it's fun. I think I mentioned this last week. I'd never had a motorcycle. I probably never will. I'm too distracted. But I get the beauty of them. Like, Jake Adams had one that was like, it was a motorcycle.
Oh, yeah. We discussed it a little bit.
Oh, that's right. We did. But, and it was really, really good looking, pretty. It was like a really
I get
nice
asked
bike.
All the time, what year is that bike? I was like, it is a 2022.
I know.
Motorcycle.
That's what I thought. Well, what is the name of that?
It's a Royal Enfield INT 650, if you want to Google it. And if you want to see the exact one, I have the Sunset Strip colorway, which is just black and red.
And is it like you know, like in cars, I'm sure, in cars you'll have, you know, okay, these are... whatever model Ford, and then there's all these different all these different types of Fords. Is the same thing with this motorcycle?
Yeah, they have different models that are like, this one is part of the Twin series, so they have another one that's built similarly but more quote unquote cafe style, where like the handlebars are lower. I was like, I want to be seated upright. I want it a little more comfortable.
Yeah, yeah. How about the? I keep thinking, oh, we should put pictures up. We never do. And I'm sorry for that, people, but I don't know if that's ever going to change. We have the most visually appealing podcast. The next person that sits there. It's going to happen, folks. I know we had problems with the podcast studio. Eventually, you know, we went from over in
Black Horse
to here, and we fixed it, and we got the studio. So we're going to have a new person sitting on that board. So we're going to go out and welcome Neil in. Aristotle, we got to talk a little. Always I could... Well, we're not done. It's just the three of us tonight. So anyway, we'll take a little break, and we'll come back with the... That was like the cold open. Wow. I mean, this should... Just Aristotle and Todd. It's nice. Wow. It's a real show. I'm not bullshitting around anymore. Neil's going to be here in a second.
King of the road. show is professional, so it's time to go to commercial.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The king of the road, ba 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 ba. Well, our guest is here, ladies and gentlemen. That means the show can start.
Our next guest is one of our favorites. He's making his 68th appearance on the show.
This is the start of
the show,
everybody.
Paul Glass. Todd grew up in a small town outside Philadelphia, a town that knew nothing of show business.
Wow,
it's a real show. The popular Conestoga High School student had a revelation while hosting the senior class variety show 3 years in a row. He loved to perform. Todd appeared locally at Smokey Joe's Talent Night every Tuesday, and like a Roman candle, it wasn't long before his career was shooting skyward, brightly lighting the Hollywood sky. Todd has appeared on the cover of Rolling Stone 8 times, People Magazine 12 times, and Good Housekeeping once. However, Todd is best known for his work with underprivileged children, having donated millions of dollars to charities all over the world, all without taking a single tax deduction. This is an exciting night for us because tonight, for the first time ever, the most handsome man in all of show business, with a head of hair to die for and cheeks that every grandma wants to squeeze, has agreed to share with us his beautiful singing voice. Even his most adoring fans will be surprised to know that Todd has written over 7,000 songs, 80 of them today, plus four poems and a limerick.
This is real.
And his iPod has over 4,000 tunes on it.
Wow.
His new CD, Todd Glass, In Your Face, The Way You Like It, is number 2 on the charts, and it has not even been recorded yet. Ladies and gentlemen, a man that needs no introduction, Mr. Todd.
Wow, everybody. That's an opening. That says this guy is somebody. How's he get Jimmy Kimmel to do a long intro like that? Because well, Neil is here, everybody.
Neil Nanda. Wow. Neil Nanda.
Clean.
On the Todd Glass Show.
Wow, look who's here.
Neil Nanda.
First time. It is the first time, right?
This is my first time, yes.
But you hung out at the old
one. Once,
yeah.
That's it. Neil Nanda. Neil Nanda. Neil Nanda. Joe gets mad when I... Joe gets mad when I talk over the jingle, so let's play it again. He's flipping out at me.
He's freaking out. He just threw a chair.
Did you hear about that? No, seriously, yeah. Did you?
I heard about it.
He threw a chair at a kid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm so glad that you're here. Because
yeah, it was everywhere.
So he goes, he's listening. What's the story? He's listening to a podcast in his car, and then he gets out of his car, and there's like a chair because they're selling Girl Scout cookies. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking. He goes, gets out, just takes the thing, hurls it at one of the Girl Scouts.
Yeah, don't talk during the jingles.
Don't talk.
That's the moral of the story.
He destroyed all of their cookies.
Here we go. Yeah. Let's come in clean. We'll edit that out. Whenever I say I'm editing something out, I never am unless I say truth.
Okay.
But let's edit that out.
Yes, yeah, edit that
out. Actually, because I don't want Joe to hear that.
Yeah, I don't want to get arrested.
Just come in clean. So anyway. Oh, guess who's here, everybody? Neil is here.
Neil Nanda, Neil Nanda, on the Todd Glass Show.
Ba-ba.
Neil Nanda, Neil Nanda,
this is one.
Clips every Tuesday.
Matches the show. Oh, shit.
Neil Nanda.
Yeah. No, put the chair down. Put the chair down. Put it down.
How do you know what Joe's doing?
Neil Nanda.
How do you know? probably at home right now.
He's FaceTiming me. He's FaceTiming me.
You sold it. See,
he's FaceTiming me right now. He has a chair.
Okay.
He's very upset. Okay, put it down. Oh, sorry. No, don't pick it up. Don't pick it back up. No.
Joe, I'm sorry.
We're sorry. We're sorry.
Let me see if I could be like Joe.
Tell me the truth. Close your eyes and tell me if it's... I'm going to tell you which one to play.
All right.
Here we go. You tell me if it's... Neil Nanda. Who do you think this is?
Oh. Harry Styles. Was that Harry Styles?
No, that was me.
Oh, it was you?
Yes.
It was.
Are you just saying that?
No. I thought it was.
I don't think.
I thought Harry Styles was here. I didn't know.
I don't. Think
I thought that was a surprise. You told me that was a surprise. I thought Harry Styles was here.
Can I ask you a question? I'll edit this out. I swear to God.
Please edit it out. Please.
Is my voice better than Joe's?
Of course.
No, Neil. Yeah, I'm your friend. You don't have to. I want to know the truth.
Okay.
Is my voice, the texture of it, the tonality of it, mine is better?
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to be honest.
I appreciate it. I don't want to be an idiot.
I don't want to lie to you. I think you would place fourth in American Idol.
What?
Oh,
fourth.
Shit. Oh,
is there a fourth?
There's a fourth. Yes, there's a fourth place.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm good. Good to see you.
I'm not in a hurry. We do have something for you to look forward to. Give me the other Neil drop. Maybe Neil.
We got another drop?
In the middle of the show, let's say you say something. Mm-hmm. It's just like, could be witty, could be funny, could be serious, could be poignant, could be anything.
It won't
Aristotle
be any of
those comes in with this.
Neil.
You don't think you like it?
Neil.
N-E-E-L.
Neil.
I like it. It's jazzy.
Neil.
Right?
That's really nice. It sounds like someone's
Neil,
really...
Neil.
Beautiful.
Come up!
Ooh.
I take that back. Number two, American Idol. That's number two.
Aristotle,
right there.
That's some good drop.
That's runner up.
The drops are not easy. Sometimes I want to applaud
those.
The drops
are incredible. I know we should applaud it. That's amazing.
Neil,
that was incredible.
First of all, hello.
Hello.
I always remember when I listen to the show later, stop. I get revved up right away.
Mm-hmm.
Stop.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, you three go, how do you open that big? And then you, because we come back down. I'm going to tell people, I met you in Atlanta.
Yes.
And you didn't, I remember I teased you, right?
You teased me from the, it was so.
Because you didn't stick around or something?
No, I stuck around.
You did?
You teased me from the stage. I was in the audience and you were going through the audience and you were just, I don't think there was a bit, but you were going through the audience and you were yelling at people. Which is a great bit, by the way.
It had to be joking around.
No, it was funny. It was very funny.
I didn't have a band yet, but I did have a lot of music on the iPad.
Yes. You had 4,000 songs.
And then you opened.
Yes. So you went through the crowd, and you were just doing some bits with everybody, and you were going person by person, like, unfold your arms, and you were like, blah, blah, blah. And then you came up to me and go, hey, I heard you're actually pretty funny. And you kept going. And I was like, how does he know this?
Other comedians tell you.
Yeah.
And you know what? I trust them. And whenever, look, I'm going to be nice to anybody, but I get when a comedian introduces you to another comedian and he goes, he's funny. They're not just saying that.
Yeah.
They want you to know that, like, and I appreciate they tell me that. And I always take heed to it, if that's the right word. But, hey, if you want to fit, the word on you is that you were funny. That's a good thing, right?
Oh, shit!
But
and then you did, like, did you do a week? Or
so what happened
everybody
was,
has their own memory.
Yes.
That's why
so I go, right after the show, I go to the green room. And you were like, yeah, I heard you were pretty funny. Another comic told me you were funny. And I was like, oh, that's so kind. And then you were like, what kind of stuff do you talk about? What kind of material do you do? And I go, I can't believe you said, you did this. This is true. You did this.
It seemed like a question. I knew of your memory, but I would never ask that. But go ahead.
You did ask that.
No, I did.
And then
I'll go to my death.
Yeah.
Because no, I wouldn't. Because
roll the tape. Roll the tape.
Fuck him up. When you're
roll the tape.
When you're
roll
a good. I'm gonna stop you for 1 second. But it's okay. I won't get in the way of it again. Everybody. Sometimes you don't remember you didn't say something because you remember the incident.
Right.
You just know who you are. Who you are.
Right.
It's, and so like on radio, whenever they go, what type of material do you do? I always my answer to that is, well, if I could explain it, it wouldn't be that good.
Right.
So I would never.
Well, it wasn't specifically that. It wasn't specifically, but you said something along those lines, like, "Oh yeah, well, you know, I hear you're really funny." You know, like
I did say that.
You said, "Tell me a joke," you know, which is what we. I'm joking. I'm joking.
Oh God!
So.
Neil.
Oh, got him. Oh my God.
Neil.
We start talking about comedy.
Oh, lower it down a little. Okay, cool.
So, you say something along those lines, like, "Oh yeah, what kind of stuff do you do?" or something like that. And I go, "Oh, you want to hear some jokes?" And he goes, "You sure?" And I just repeated your act to you. And then I remember you were laughing. You kept laughing. You think I'm not going to laugh at my own jokes?
Yeah,
you
think
I'm
going to sit here?
Yeah, they're funny. Yeah,
I think they're funny.
Yeah, and you were. It was pretty funny because I was just doing your joke. I was like, "What's he going to do?" And then you were cracking up at me doing your material. And
well,
that's how we met.
Todd Glass is a funny fuck. Doo-dah, doo-dah. Todd Glass is a funny fuck. Oh, the doo-dah day. He's a funny fuck. He's a funny fuck.
Throws his skills.
Todd Glass is a funny fuck.
Bop-ba-da-ba-ba-ba-bop. So, also, I just want to take a little time here. We know all this, but the audience doesn't.
Yeah.
The Laughing Skull... When I first started going there, I remember Paul F. Tompkins had shot a special there. Mm-hmm. I really loved that place. And what I loved about it was, in the beginning, I don't know what it is now. I don't think they bring in out-of-towners that often anymore. I think they have enough, which is fine. But it was in the beginning, when I first started going there, it was like these great crowds in a very little room. But my perception of it was not little. You might not know you're going. You're in there. What's the restaurant?
The Vortex,
and you go down a hallway. But when you got in there, is eclectic and funky. It was a real room. It was like the red curtain, and the show would open up, and they had someone back there opening the big curtain. That curtain that's on that stage is the same curtain that if you're in a 5,000-seat room, the gauge of that curtain. I know that seemed like a big deal, but it is. Because when the lights go down, you see one fucking thing. And that's what's behind the comedian. It didn't get in the way of the comedians. The curtain would open up. Good evening. They did like a thing, and the hotel was nice, and it was right up the street. And I thought the crowds were great. It was really like a fun thing. And there were so many. Tell me if it's still like it. Good comedians that lived in Atlanta.
Yes, Atlanta has some of the best comedians in the country.
Well, is it still like that?
It's still like that. When you go back to Atlanta, it's so fun because like I go to other cities and I'm like, you know, you go to I'm going to name cities that have bad comics, Calcutta or you know, New Delhi or
fuck 'em up,
Bangladesh sometimes. And you know, you go to these cities and the comics they come up and you're like, oh, this is going to be easy. I'm going to wipe the floor with this crowd. You know, they really did warm them up, but it's not, you know, they don't kill. In Atlanta, you have to bring it. Everybody's bringing it, and everyone that's opening for you is trying to bring it harder, and I really respect that. I think it's an East Coast thing. I think that Atlanta is kind of like the New York of the South. You know what I mean? What I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And I also thought the comedians knew that. Look, we get there should be some gray areas. When do you do the A material? We get it. There should be gray areas. Like, well, I don't know what to do when it's a Thursday night show, but it's a big. I get. But one thing I always, you know, have told, I never had this problem in Atlanta. And when I say it's a problem, it's not that big of a problem. You just have to turn someone to the, you'll get it. You have to sort of cleverly explain why not to do it. But a comedian once said, this is on a weekend where they're paying $25 or $30 plus drinks. And he goes, yeah, that new joke didn't work. And I was like, new joke?
Yeah.
And I'm not like a fucking, you know, a stick in the mud.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, if you go, of course there's time to do the A material. Or get the gray areas where someone might go, well, I don't think that there. You're not getting paid. What's it matter? But if this isn't the time to do your opening, do the A game, your A material. Hey, if it goes over, it doesn't go over. I don't give a shit. As long as you're trying, you're doing a good job. I'm another comic. If you're funny, you're funny. I don't care. But if it's not for this show where they're paying $25, $30, if you're doing new material here,
then when do you think it's the proper time to do?
You understand what I'm asking? I do understand what you're asking. I mildly disagree.
Disagree. Let me interrupt you real quick, and then I will not interrupt you.
Please.
Disagree, not because you have done it, but because it makes sense. Don't just try to, just think about it. Go, am I just disagreeing with this?
So
because I think that, I swear to God, I'll let you talk as much as I talk. Because if you disagree, I want to know, because that's how you go, oh, I never thought about it that way. But I think you're getting paid. You're on a weekend show. They're paying $25, $30. You're doing 10, 15 minutes up front, let's say. So you think not necessarily you should do the
A your, material?
Yeah.
I think if you can sandwich a couple new things, I'm okay with it. If
can I tell you something? You're going to think I'm just... You're going to think I'm just agreeing to agree?
Uh-huh.
I totally agree with you, and I forgot to say that.
Because, like, if you do... I think you should do majority A stuff. I think you should do 80%. You know, 75, 80%. And then if you want to squeeze in 2-3 new jokes, if you're doing well...
That's it.
My thing with new material, when I sandwich it, I pretend like it's old. I don't pretend... I'm not like, okay, this is new. I'm going to, you know, let me check my notebook. And okay, all right. All right, I just wrote this today. You know, I don't do that. I pretend like I've done it 48 times. And when it doesn't work, then I go, sorry, that was new. That's how I handle it. Then I apologize. Sorry about that.
Can I tell you something? I'm so... glad that you didn't think you just had to. You know, out of politeness, sometimes you just agree in a room, even if it's over something subtle. Because I'll tell you why. I forgot that part.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes as a comic, and look, we don't start new bits that are 20 minutes long. It could be one sentence. And then if it kills, you add more.
Exactly.
But I always say that, hey, if you do new material, you get to do one new joke. And if it's working, oh, of course. I think comedians get to the point where you get a gut feeling. Sometimes you're driving down the street, you have a thought in your head, and the majority of the time it will work. Majority of the time. So, yeah, I don't care if they do material. But if it's not working, you go back to the classics.
Yes, exactly.
You go back to the
exactly.
best stuff.
Exactly. And a lot of times when I do new material, it can segue into a classic. So, like I just watched a set of mine because I hate myself. And I watched myself. I watched an hour. I was in, where was I? I was in D.C., and I was watching my DC shows, which you're going to soon, at the Comedy Loft. And I was watching 3-4 hours of footage, and I saw a joke not work, but then I segued it into a joke that worked.
Yeah.
So everyone thought that I was just, like, for 2 minutes just setting up this joke. But for 2 minutes, it wasn't funny, and then they got to the joke, and I'm like, okay, finally. But I was like, my mom also.
I love it. That's so perceptive. People listening know our tricks. Sometimes I do the same thing, and it's good. It's like, but I'll figure out like just how to like find a way to segue into this bit that always works.
Exactly.
And the other thing I do that sometimes with, if I have something that I feel is preachier than it's funny, I'll just put it before a punchline strong oriented joke. I go, and then it's more of just preachy than funny. It's like if you agree with me, you'll applaud.
So I don't think you're preachy at all. At all.
Look, I will.
Neil.
Thank you.
Neil.
I like it louder.
Yeah. Because I don't preach. Nada don't preach.
No. I will be.
You got
honest.
The reference.
Nada don't. What's that? Yeah,
Papa don't preach. Nada don't preach. Continue.
Papa don't preach!
I don't think you're preachy.
Oh.
At all. Ever.
Well. I work on it, but it takes effort. There are jokes that I have that I know. Like, I know jokes that I have that are funnier than preachy. That means even if the opposing people that don't agree with you, they'll laugh. And that would be my goal, to have all my jokes like that. Number one, it's if you're really, besides trying to make people laugh, if it's a social joke, you're trying to change their opinion, that's the only way you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. And then there's other jokes. I'm being critical of myself. At my best, I don't do this, but I have to be aware of it. I don't know where I even heard that phrase. Not on a podcast, but on your stand-up, you can do whatever you want. I'm not writing rules. But it serves your own cause to be funnier than preachy. Because otherwise, people just applaud because they agree.
Right.
But it's not funny.
It's clapter.
Yeah.
Yes.
What did you call that?
Clapter. Yeah, it's clapter. That's what it is. That's the phrase for it. That's
is that
it.
Is that a phrase?
I think so.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so great.
It's clapter.
Say it again. What?
Clapter.
Clapter. Mm-hmm. Oh, like, that's the old Tonight shows where they would make the audience...
Yeah, they would just end something and they go, oh, it's over.
Yeah, applaud. Be careful with that drink, I'm telling you.
I'm dealing all right. I'm dealing okay.
I'll give you an example of a joke that I think is funny
I would want all my jokes to be up to this. Mm-hmm. And my brother disagreed with this, and he goes, the joke changed his opinion. I'm not, hey, look, I'm just having confidence right now. I'm not trying to say this is one of my better mm-hmm. jokes. I'm saying I am aware that this is a joke that is absolutely funnier than preachy. And it's about peanut allergies. You know, people go, well, they didn't have peanut allergies 50 years ago. And I really like to go over it to the crowd. I go, now, look, there's smart people in this room, smart people that are going, he's right. There weren't peanut allergies 50 years ago. That's not that deserves a good answer because it's true. There weren't. There weren't. So come on. They're bullshit or tell me. I go, no, you're right. There weren't peanut allergies 50 years ago. There were a lot of unexplained deaths, though. And my brother goes, that changed his opinion on it. I'm like, oh, good. Yeah, because it's so ironclad. I could have said, you know, just going on a rant. And these people are like, oh, everything's bullshit, isn't it? Because you're old and you're dying. And nothing's right. Nothing. No, there's no allergies. There's everything's great now. Yeah, and the people, fuck you if you don't believe in peanut allergies. I hope your son fucking dies from a peanut allergy. And that'll teach you to fuck. Right, and that's what happens. They
Clapter.
All,
yeah,
what do you call it again?
Clapter. There's a mild laugh, and then it's always.
So I don't want that. Now, do I? I have tricks sometimes. You know, I get the trumpet in there if I'm preaching. I always have the trumpet bump. I go, if I took myself too serious, would I have trumpets playing in the background? So you started in Atlanta. What year?
I started in 2009.
2009.
Yes.
And what was the first place you went up?
Laughing Skull. That was
it
the first
is.
Place I went. I did the open mic, and I planned to do 5 minutes. And I've been writing this 5 minutes for 6 or 7 years. I had been writing since middle school. I would watch Comedy Central, and I would steal people's jokes. I would write it down in a notebook, and then I would tell it at lunch.
That's what I did.
Is that what you did?
Oh, my God. I've never met. Go ahead. Go, go,
yeah,
go.
That's crazy.
Go back. You finish your story, and then
I'll... Yeah, so I would do that, and then eventually someone was like, why don't you just write your own? And I was like, I'm not a comedian. I didn't know there was, like, a way to become a comedian. I thought it was just, like, I'm me, and that's, you know, Sarah Silverman, or that's me, and that's Todd Glass. I didn't know there was a way to get there. And so when I started writing jokes, I started telling people my own jokes in high school. And then somebody was like, why don't you just go on stage? And I was like, you can't just go on stage. That's not how you do. You can't just, hey, hi, comedian here. I'm next, right? And so I went and signed up for an open mic at the Laughing Skull. And I told myself, if I bomb, I tried it, you know, I did it, you know, and if it, you know, but if it goes well, I'll keep doing it. And it went well. My 5 minutes became 3.5 because I was nervous stepping on punchlines, stepping on laughs. I didn't have any pacing or
was
timing.
Was it crowded or half crowded?
It was 30
people.
It was packed. The open mic was packed.
Did you have anybody with you?
No, okay. I was alone. I didn't want anybody to know. I don't want anyone to hear. Honestly, I was, you know, I was 19 years old, so 70% of it was about jizz. That was just what it was. I don't want my mom.
Fuck them up.
Yeah, I don't need my mom. They're like, yes, tell the jizz joke louder. You know,
oh
I don't want. I didn't need that. So I was doing jokes about cum, and they worked. And you know what's funny is there's like one or two that I still do in my act. From when I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to hear the one that I do?
Yeah.
The one that
Let
I do
give
is
you make it sound like you're on stage.
Okay. So, I don't know if you guys knew this, but you know if you drink pineapple juice, Todd, did you know if you drink pineapple juice, it's supposed to make your semen taste sweeter? Do you guys know this? Yeah? I think it tastes exactly the same. That's just me personally. Yeah.
Fuck them up!
Fuck them up!
So
that's one that I did back then. And so
I have a few that I still mm-hmm. do, too. So you go... hold on, let me make sure my levels are good. I know Aristotle's here, so he's got control. He can tell me things. So... You go on, you do well, you do five, you do 3.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then when's the next time you go up after that?
So I started going to more mics, right? And it was so funny because I did well the first time. And then the next 3 times in a row, I bombed. The next 3 times in a row, I bombed. And I'm dating a girl at the time. And I call her and I say, I just bombed 3 times in a row. Maybe this isn't for me. Maybe a beginner's luck. You know, I have one good set. They like the gist stuff. No one else likes the gist stuff, allegedly. So I tell, allegedly. So I'm on the phone with her. And while I'm on the phone with her, she goes, I'm on a Motorola Razr. It's 2009. And I flip it open. And I'm having a call waiting. Somebody's calling me. And I pick up and they go, hey, where are you? And I go, what do you mean, where am I? And they go, you're on the show. I go, what do you, what are you talking about? I'm on the show. And like, yeah, you're supposed to be here at the, it was the Landmark Diner had a show in Atlanta. And the club owner at the Skull saw me and said, hey, you should do the Landmark Diner show. And I go, okay. He goes like, you should do it on Saturday. And I was like, all right. And I thought, okay, yeah, maybe I'll go sign up or email the guy. But he had booked me on the show.
He thought you were funny.
He thought I was funny. So he said, you should go do
it. And it went well.
And so I run over there, and I'm late, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I didn't know I was on the show. And I explain the whole situation. And they're like, it's fine. Relax. You're up in a couple. You know. And I go up, and I destroy. Right after I was on the phone.
You need that.
I need it. And I was on the phone with my girlfriend saying, I think I should quit. I think it's I bombed three times in a row. Maybe it was beginner's luck. Maybe it's not for me. I'm just going to be an engineer. I'm Indian. So, you know, I just did that. And I felt like that was a sign. I felt like a phone call coming in. Where are you? You're on stage in 20 minutes. And I was also close. I don't live close. I happened to be close. I think right. I was getting a haircut close by. I was like 10 minutes away. So I was able to make it there. So it all felt like the universe was aligning. And yeah. You know who? And the show was a piggyback show where you bring up the next comic. You know who I brought up? Kumail Nanjiani that night.
Was he still?
He was visiting.
Oh, shit!
Oh, shit.
Oh,
he was
shit.
Visiting. I'll never forget what he said. And I love Kumail. Great guy. I bring this up to him all the time. But he, I never met him before. It was my first time meeting him. He was visiting from New York to Atlanta. He was shooting a show on TNT, Franklin and Bash. Great show that I didn't watch. And he was visiting, and I had to bring him up. I had never met him. So I wrote down his name, Kumail Nanjiani. And I go, and I do my set, and I have a great set. And then I go, guys, get up for your next comic. I look into my notebook, and then I go, Kumail Nanjiani. I just completely fuck up his name. And then, yeah, go ahead. Oh, shit.
Fuck him up.
Yeah, I fucked it up. So he, and then he walks out, and I'll never forget what he did. He goes, really? Really? This guy? The brown guy fucks up my name? Okay, I get that if Matthew fucks it up, or David, or Stephanie, but that guy? Really? And he just goes off and he just roasts me for the first minute and then he destroys. And I was so inspired. He was so nice. His wife Emily was there. And it was a great night. And that made me keep doing comedy because it literally felt like I literally got a phone call that was like, where are you when I'm talking about quitting comedy? So that I kept going.
I was hoping, like in that story as you were going to tell it, I'm like, oh, I hope this is what happens. He goes and he does well. Because you're rooting for someone in the story. You
right,
know
right.
It's in the past. But
the jizz
I,
jokes worked there.
What?
The jizz jokes worked that night. Yeah, thank
and
God.
You go, they're working
thank
again.
God.
I got them
yeah,
polished.
Got, okay,
I got
yeah.
them polished up. Sometimes, like, when I do the podcast here, there might be some new comedians listening. And I always like to remind, because I didn't realize this in the present, but I can look at it back. It's not like back then I thought about it this clearly. But I go, you know how after you have a bad set, you want to go home? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I did a lot. If I had a bad set, I just whoom, boom, home, drive home. I didn't want to hang out with anybody, right? I don't know how everyone else was. That's how I was. But then one night I had a bad set, and my friend Mitch was going, no, come on, we'll go. We're going to the city. You'll have fun. And I went. And you know what? I had so much fun there, and I was funny there. And I was funny because I was hanging out with friends. Mm-hmm. But let's face it. When people, comedians, see you be funny, they don't go, yay. They see you funny, be offstage. It's almost like your second opportunity to show who you are. It's not. It doesn't have to look as networking. And when I learned that, when there were bad shows, I went out. And you know what? Maybe I did have a bad show, but I always did well hanging out with everybody and having fun. And your night doesn't have to be driving home. What if there's a comedian that's been doing it 2 years longer than you and you're out hanging out and you say something that makes them do a spit take? You're going to drive home with that. Yeah, okay, you did shitty on stage tonight. Well, I'm not trying to fluff it up. But, God, I had a really good time afterwards and just laughed. And, you know, and the bonus is if you new comedian gets to know you. And, you know, so I always say go out. Don't rush home.
I agree with that. That's a good point. I always went home. Always. Yeah, I never stuck around if I had a bad set. I barely stuck around if I had a good set because I also started when I was 19 and they would kick me out of the club because I was in 21. Right. So I would, it was so, there was a club.
You looked young.
Yeah, I looked 12. So I used to go to.
That's why you have to have a beard, right?
Yeah, that's literally why I have to have a beard. That's specifically why I grew this. So people think I'm an adult. That's the only reason. It's the only reason.
Right, because you could still, if we're not overthinking it, and what I say is someone can pass if you put them in with that group. Mm-hmm. Not now, we're going to micromanage it. And just over, you could probably pass for, it's probably 16?
Yeah, 16 to 18, yeah, I think. I had to shave for an audition, and that week I got ID'd everywhere. Everywhere I went, they're like, are you sure? It was always an Indian dude too.
So so we're talking about
Yeah, so I was 19. I always had to. I usually they made me leave. There was a club in Atlanta or a bar called the Star Bar, and I performed there every week when I was 19. And they would let me in. I was a comic, and I would drink there. And then one day, the guy was like, "You look 12. Are you sure you're 21?" I was like, "I'm a comic." And then he's like, "Let me see your ID." And then they were so mad. They were so mad, but they still let me perform there, which was so nice. Yeah. But they would they would make me wait outside. They would call me on stage, and the host would always go, "This kid's like 10 years old or whatever, so he's going to get up here and get the fuck out of here. Give it up for Neil Nanda or whatever. I don't give a shit." And then I would go on stage right after that, and then he'd get back and be like, "All right, get the fuck out of here. I don't want to get arrested. All right, next comic. Let's keep the show going."
I wish I had. I always looked so much older, which I didn't love, but it did help that.
It helps.
I was 16.
Because people take you seriously when you look older. They don't want to hear my opinions when you look 12. They don't want to hear, like, "Yeah, you ever been in a relationship?" It's like, what are you doing? Holding hands? What are you doing?
Yeah, subconsciously, it just changes. I know a comedian, you know, a long time ago that just started dressing. He was more like dressed, very sort of, for lack of a better way, goth.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever the reason, he was dating a girl and she bought him some things. And he looked like one night, he just looked, "Oh, look how nice Drake looks." And, Drake Sather was his name.
Sounds goth. That sounds like a Hot Topic employee,
not goth,
doesn't it?
But like, you know, better word, I said that. But and then I asked him. I go, "Do you feel like your jokes?" Because he had a very dark sense of humor. He was really fucking funny, but he had a dark sense of humor. And he goes, "Oh, absolutely." I go, "Easier, right?" He goes, "Yeah." For some reason, coming from this, you know, and had a haircut, he just looked like, you know, good looking guy.
It's so interesting because when I grew out my facial hair, I was doing the same jokes and they were hitting so much harder. And that's why I kept it. I wouldn't have kept it had it not. You know, I grew it out. I literally just got lazy. That's all it was.
Is it as easy or the same to take care of it?
It's so easy. It's so much easier. Listen. I trim it 2-3 times a week.
Let me trim it for you tonight. Please. You mind? I have some ideas.
Yeah, is it a problem? Yeah.
Is this bothering you? I have a trimmer.
Okay, beautiful.
Hold on, let me... Wow. So...
Oh, my God, so smooth.
Atlanta.
Yeah.
I love Atlanta. Hold on. Go ahead. Let me play this. What were you going to say?
No, go ahead, play it.
Play it? No, what were you going to say?
No, what are you going to say?
No.
You play.
No.
You play. No, come on. I insist.
Come on. No, you
I
go.
Insist.
10-year-old Tom got season 2. Doo-dah, doo-dah. 10-year-old Tom got season 2. Oh, doo-dah day. Principal Todd Glass, top billed in the cast. 10-year-old Tom got season 2.
HBO Max, folks. Second season. I play the principal. I play the principal. 10-year-old Tom. We got picked up for a second season. Yeah, it's a big deal. Hold on. Do we have this? All the way at the bottom?
I don't remember which one that is.
Remember, it's the one we found? Dun, 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 dun. Bam, bam. Zach.
Oh, I see.
We have a big guest next week, folks. Here's a big deal.
Zach Galifianakis on the Todd Glass Show this week. We just can't wait to hear him speak.
All right, Aristotle, come on. Before we leave Atlanta, which we probably should.
Sure.
We'll get silly. You know, I have a theory that every city, and I wish I could, if I was going to do a business model, could handle. Now, a good comedy club. Like, what I mean good, like... 200 seat max, but bringing in acts from out of town, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, official club, could handle like 150 or 200. You do the math, you can make money. And I think the only reason that it isn't in more cities is because people see it fail. And once they think it fails, it's hard for them to imagine, did they do it that wrong? Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
And
one of my things, if I was going to open up a franchise of things, one of the details of it, two details that I would have not said 10 years ago, I would have done all the shit we don't even have to talk about now. Do the lighting right, make it and have curtains. No, that's that what I always said. But
you know, I learned all of that from you. Well, I learned all of that from you about you being so picky. I was, this guy's so picky.
It's not picky.
No, I know. That's
I know,
what
I
thought.
I know what you mean.
That's what I thought. When I first saw you do it, I was like, what is wrong with this guy? A little picky. And then I saw a club that did the opposite. And I was like, I'm picky. You yeah. gotta pick. I'm picking that out of here.
I know what you mean because
you know
it's
what I mean.
A compliment.
Yeah,
of course
it's a compliment.
I do. Of course I do. Yeah, yeah. But even you have to step back. You know, when you go, well, what is it? Is it because then we go, Todd Glass? No. I know it's better for the audience, and there is a right and a wrong, and you know that's why movie theaters. I don't just make it up. There's a reason in a movie theater that they have you in the dark, and you don't hear the popcorn machine. That's what I always love to remind people. Like at the movies, they make all their money on the popcorn. Literally, you know, they don't make money off the movie, but they still know. And I would tell any club owner this opening up. I've said this before, and I'm saying it again. I know you make money off food and drinks. There's still a way to serve it where you're a comedy club that serves food and drinks, not a restaurant that happens to have comedy. And the way that factoring is, well, what's the difference? They both sound the same. A restaurant that does comedy could be a nice place. Some of the improvs fall under this category. I don't need them anymore, so I can just tell the truth. Some of the improvs fall under this category. They have food. Oh, we got shrimp fluff fluff and all this food.
Love
the food's
fluff,
so
fluff.
Good and the food's so good. But they serve food during the headliner. Hey, we make a lot of money off that food. Oh, okay. Hey, look, and another day I'll argue. I'm not trying to be coy. Another day I'll argue, but I'm not arguing right now. Okay, you're a restaurant that has stand-up comedy and sometimes some really fucking good stand-up comedy, and you got a really cool stage and state-of-the-art everything. You're a restaurant that has a beautiful place to perform at. The difference is when you're a comedy club that happens to serve food is we don't sorry, it's too late to get dinner, but is there we can get you maybe, you know, something we can get you out if you're hungry. Oh, why? They can make a lot more money. Why are they saying no to people at a good comedy club that we can't serve dinner during the show? Because that reason. Because, yeah, we serve food, but we're not going to be a club that during the headliner act is walking food around the room. And you make less money, but you're respected as a comedy club.
Right. You respect art. I mean, you could do, like, what you're saying, serve food before the headliner.
Of course.
Like, have a cutoff.
Well, I tell you the truth. At the good clubs, they try to have it pretty much gone.
Wrapped up, yeah.
Yeah, and if there's any food going out, it might go out during the MC. But then, no, a good comedy club that serves food. And there's ones that do it very well. That's why, you know, it can be done. I get it. It's important. It can help keep the doors open. There's a way to do it right. Anyway, I'm sorry. I digressed. But one of my things, if I was going to go around trying to open up these little clubs, is go around to these comedy clubs already that have a manager that works so hard. He's probably underpaid. He doesn't have to interview you. You've watched him run a comedy club for sometimes 10 years, and he's good in his job, and he loves comedy. Even at a shitty comedy club, you know a good manager.
Right.
You're like, he knows comedy. He just has to follow the rules.
Right.
You take them. You steal them, and you give them the most your accountant will tell you can give them without being a fool. I don't want to go, I'd give them 5%. If it's 30, give them. Make them happy. I want the person that I'm hoping is going to make my business success to be fucking thrilled to fucking death. So when he's there at 3 in the morning, he's making not just a little bit more than other clubs, a whole fucking lot more. More than any other guy in his position, any other club works. That, you go around, you open up clubs like that, you'll probably be successful.
You'll be successful. 100%. 100%. Mm-hmm. If you follow the rules and you focus on the craft, if you focus on the art, if you bring people good shows, they will continue to come back.
Right.
100%. 1,000%. People want to have a good time.
The only thing I say different now, though, like when somebody goes, hey, my friend wants to open up a club. They live in Canada. Can they call you? I'm like, yeah, look, I love talking about that stuff. Yeah, I'm on the treadmill. I talk to people for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And
you're on the treadmill for 2 hours?
No, an hour one day and then an hour.
Okay,
right,
you
know,
yeah.
I said,
call me back.
Tomorrow. Yeah,
I'll call you back when I'm back on the treadmill tomorrow. I get on the treadmill at 1. I'll call you at 1.
And oh,
your friend in Canada.
So,
I know Canadians. Sorry,
so, oh yeah, I said, I never said this before when pitching a club. But I go, it just came to me that I never put this in the budget. And I told them we were going through other stuff. I said, you know, there's something I wouldn't even have told you a year ago, but I figured out what it is. You also need the money to put on top-notch shows for 3 years.
and have curtains that can make 40 people look ungoddamn believable. And you know what you can do with 40 people. Mm-hmm. I know it. Nobody wants to build a club and go, well, let's have curtains in case there's 40 people. No, we're hoping we're sold out. No, but you do it that. That's in your business model. Mm-hmm. You have that manager. And what was my point?
The curtain. That this is something you would add to tell someone.
So when you're not crowded, it can still look cool, but you need the money to be able to put on those shows for 3 years. And that's because I notice this. Whenever I see a club doing it right, most of the time, I go back a year later. I want them to do well, so I ask, hey, how you doing? You know what I mean? You want to hear them go. They go, I still have my day job. You know, one of the things, oh, shit, right. They're doing it right. When somebody does it right, I want to see it succeed. 2 years, blah, 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 but and then 3 years, you go, she quit her day job. You know what I mean? You're like, mm-hmm. And then the fourth year, they're like doing good. And the Comedy Attic was sort of like that. I found out the Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana.
Oh, in Indiana,
They didn't have high rent, so they were able to just stick it out. A lot of other clubs would have folded, that's the best club on the planet.
Yeah.
So with that said, that's in the business plan. The opening the club doesn't have to cost a fortune, but you need enough money. Because I will say this. Gathering, I'm going to just say it sloppily because you'll know what I mean. Mm-hmm. The people that are not comedy savvy, there's more of them in every city. So it takes a little longer. I'm not going to say if you do it right. No, you're going for a different breed. But if you have the 3-year window to constantly, even if you're whatever you made that night, no, we're going to still bring in quality acts. 3 years later, the word gets out. You don't need a big percentage. I don't even know if it's 1% of society that lives there.
Right.
You just need enough people to put, 125, 150, 4 or 5 shows a week. You have a very successful club. I think I could do that.
Yeah.
You want to go
where
in
would
on
you,
it?
Yeah, let's go down it. Where would you open a club?
I know.
What
Can I
city?
Tell you something?
Let's, yeah.
Almost where wouldn't I?
Where there's a few cities I wouldn't.
There would be.
Sorry to talk trash, but Calcutta, not a good stand-up city, you know.
Tell you where I'd go, oddly enough, and I wouldn't, I know because of Florida and their opinion, you know, what's, not their opinions, Florida, you know, Florida, the reputation it has. That wouldn't stop me from opening up a comedy club there at all. There was a cool, what I say, for lack of a better word, hip comedy club years ago in Palm Beach.
Okay.
It was a lot of comedians. Mitch Hedberg started there, and Bill Hicks used to do. He did his, you know, he would perform there a lot, and me and Greg Proops, and it was like in the middle. It was great. It was like there's definitely, you could tell by the pictures on the wall. Oh, this was a club. They cultivated a different audience. It was absolutely different from mainstream comedy clubs. They had been introduced to a collective different acts, and that's what they accepted. So you went in, it was like a treat to perform when they cultivate an audience. That's what I think the Laughing Skull did in the beginning.
Yes.
I mean, or I haven't been there, so that's
no,
why I say
No, you're
in the
right.
Beginning.
When I started the Laughing Skull when I was 19, and it had been open for like 6 months, and I saw them put on quality shows, bring on quality. I mean, if you look at the same headshots, the walls, it's you, it's Mark Maron.
Rory Scovel. Before it was even that Rory Scovel was a draw at all.
Before it was cool to like Rory Scovel. Before it was, you know, the coolest
it's
thing.
It's still not cool.
It's still not cool.
Well, yes, not right. Fuck him!
Yes, fuck Rory Scovel.
Fuck him up!
That's why I came
fuck
here.
Him. Don't
I came
get
here.
Me started
no,
me
I know.
That piece
no,
of
that guy,
shit.
I know.
God
I know.
Damn it, I
know.
Just let me walk it off.
I know. He stole my dog. And I'm very upset about that. Yes.
Fuck Rory. Yes.
Yeah.
Fuck Physical season 2.
Yeah, all of it.
Yeah, that show's done.
I'm sorry. I knew there was a problem, but I didn't.
Todd Glass Show is professional, so it's time to go to commercial.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
So that's
they would
what
bring
I
a great headline.
Florida, number one.
Yeah,
I would say Florida.
Really?
Maybe three places.
Where in Florida?
There is
what city?
No way. Think about it.
Which city? In
is there any way?
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, you're not going.
Mm-hmm.
I want your honest answer, but
yeah.
I'm going to tilt it a little.
Go ahead. Tilt my answer.
We're not going, well, we only need 1,000 people 4 times a week. No, you could have a successful club, especially when it's a piggyback club. You know what that is? The Laughing Skull. The restaurant goes, we'll get the drinks. People go, that's a lot of money. But it's to me, it's the best way to own a club. I don't want to order maraschino cherries. I don't want to do payroll.
Right.
You make the money on the drinks. Yeah, there's the downfall about it sometimes when you want to bring an act and paper the room. It doesn't matter. There's the upfall of it is mm-hmm. that you run a comedy club. They make the money in the drinks.
Yeah.
You run a club. If it's comedy related, you pay for it. If it's drink related and the soda gun breaks, you run the liquor end of this. And if I'm filling the seats up every day, people tend to want to keep you around. That room upstairs that we used to have to rent out for banquets,
mm-hmm.
there's been a comedy club up there. We can use it on the off nights if we want. But you know what? They put 4 or 5 times a week, they put 100 people up there. Even that, they'd be like thrilled. So, I'm sorry. I'm almost there. So the piggyback club.
Yes.
That.
What is a piggyback club? I don't even know what you're talking about. Oh, when it's like part of a restaurant.
You don't
okay,
own
gotcha.
The building. You
okay,
don't.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
you attach to a
to a building. Yeah, I agree. I like a piggyback club. And where would you open a club? You
oh,
said
where else?
Florida.
I
yes.
said Florida.
You said
go
Florida. Open a club. I mean, there's
Chicago too. I'll go ahead and
Chicago's fantastic. I like Nashville a lot. I mean,
Nashville definitely.
Nashville's so fun. I love Zanies there.
But this would be this is not Zanies,
it's
right?
Not Zanies.
You understand?
I'd do a black boxy little theater, like a nice little 150 seater.
Can I tell you what I would do?
What would you do?
It's funny you say black box.
Mm-hmm.
I really do think. I really do. I don't want to do it. But I mean, I've thought about it basically when now you could call, you know, a deck that became everyone was calling about decks a few years ago. You know, when you're writing a show, you put
yeah,
a deck.
Yeah, you put a deck. Yeah,
you put a deck
yeah.
together for opening up a comedy club.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I was thinking about when I was at a black box theater in Pittsburgh called the Comedy Arcade.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds a little weird, but you'll understand what I mean
weird,
when
yeah.
I'm done. No, what I'm about to say.
Yeah, please.
I black box theaters, most of the time, the walls are filthy. So when you're mm-hmm. sitting in there, it doesn't feel. It's just the way it is. It's a.
Well, I consider the Laughing Skull a black box theater.
Well, they had red curtains on
yeah,
that far
but that's,
wall.
But that's a good
that
black
a,
box theater.
Yeah, but I mean
they
literally
exist.
Black walls when there's four
okay.
black walls.
Okay.
But the one in Pittsburgh.
Why does it got to be black?
It just disappears.
Why has it got to be black? Though?
It's like a mat. Mm-hmm. It just
okay,
disappears.
All right. All right, if you say so. Okay.
But it was pristine.
Mm-hmm.
Was pristine.
Yeah, pristine. Okay.
And. The pictures look like it's like art. It's like you're up there on stage, and I have the band behind me, so they're dressed nice. But against a pristine wall, and I told the owner that. He goes, ah, means the world to me. I paint it a lot. I go, well, guess what? It's worth every second it takes you. People are sitting there. They're looking at not with dirty, filthy. So I thought if I built a comedy club, I would call it a black box comedy club. I would put brick behind the stage and paint it black.
Oh, I like you know, black. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Just paint it black.
Yeah, yeah.
I would put a gobo up in the right-hand corner that said the name of the club. That's the light that shines on the wall. And every other wall in the room would be black. And if someone goes, why don't we put pictures up around there? Here would be my way to explain what a black box comedy club is to me. It's saying, look, if I put pictures of the greats around the back of the room, they wouldn't ruin the show. No one's going to go, oh, God, look. But my theory is go fucking nuts. When it has to do with there's one thing for them to see, that's the stage. So everything else is black. It's like a mat. You don't want pictures all over the mat. So what we do as a comedy club, we go, how can we bring in brilliant comedy and serve it beautifully? And
mm-hmm.
that's to make one thing in the room to look at, the stage.
The focal point.
Everything
yep.
else is
I agree.
Black.
I agree.
And it's clean looking and you have your staff. I would let my staff wear anything they want black. Shoes, shirt, pants, anything if it's black if they have a bow tie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Long pants. And so that's it.
That's so specific.
That's not that much. That's saying if it's black, you can wear it, just not shorts.
Okay.
And then bow tie. And walk around a room like that looks artistic and you have a... This would go over. So Denver, definitely Denver.
Oh, I love Denver. I love Denver so much. There is a great little black box theater below a church in Denver. That I just did a few months ago. Have you done this? The
no.
Denver Comedy Underground? I hope I'm saying that right.
Did you do it?
The one that
I went in and took over the whole
basement of the church. That's the exact. That was great. I loved it.
I did six shows there.
Yeah, I did. I did four just a couple months ago. It was fantastic.
I got. You know what? I'm gonna show you. Oh shit.
Oh shit.
Oh shit.
Oh shit.
Remind me. I took over that room.
You took it over?
Meaning he was very nice and he let me do whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
I put a red curtain behind the stage. I had the band.
Yeah, it was amazing. We
gelled it all blue.
I was there to do a college, which was one of the worst gigs of my entire life. But it paid more than any gig of my entire life. So I was there to do University of Colorado Boulder. And while I was there, it was like on a Thursday. It was on a Saturday, but it was at like 4 p.m. It was a South Asian Student Association. And those are my people. I'm South Asian, you know. Those are my homies. That's like I'm related to half of them. You know, that's my uncle.
And this
there.
Has to do with the Comedy Underground?
Yes. So I'm in Denver and I'm doing the school. I bombed so hard because it wasn't just my people, the Indian people. It was they brought their parents and their uncles and their aunties. And what was funny is the students laugh less than the parents because they were afraid to laugh in front of their parents.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
And so I bombed horrifically there. But then I went immediately to the Denver Comedy Underground and I was like, wow, this is an incredible club. It was packed. They had a piano. I play piano. So I play piano on stage. Yeah, anytime there's a piano, I play piano.
Yeah.
I made a rule, and that's how I learned piano. I legitimately learned piano. Do you have a piano?
No, I want to I want to show you something.
Yeah, show me something.
I'm not going to take over a room and make aesthetic changes unless I think there's something special going on there. And everyone told me what you just said. A few people go, he cultivates an audience. It's probably by the shows he books, and they were great. I brought in my audience, too.
Yeah.
But there were people that also came because they come to the shows there.
Yes.
Not everyone knew who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we did six shows. And I had the band, and they played jazz as they were being seated. We gelled the room blue. He met everything with positivity. We made the green room out of that thing when you go in right to your left. We put a curtain up there.
That was nice.
Yeah,
it was comfortable.
We loved it.
We loved it. I had a great time there.
And the crowds were so great.
Crowds are phenomenal.
And it was just, it looked cool with the amp, you know, and the seating raises in the back. They had to put some seats like
in the front.
They made it in the front, so it connected it, which I really liked. But I had a lot of fun there. You know, sometimes you have really fun and you sell out every show. I know this seems weird. I won't call a place and ask to be rebooked because if they want me, I figure they'd call me. You know what I mean? So sometimes I'm like, well, is that stupid, Todd?
Maybe do they do the thing when you leave? Like, hit us up anytime. We'd love to have you back.
Of course, we had a great time. He was super, super
nice.
Then
I hit him up because they get hit up 500 trillion times a day.
But I don't need that.
You don't want
to
be that guy.
That hits me up.
Yeah, okay.
Because I'm going to answer right away. Like Vermont does that. They don't. DC Improv did that for years. Helium.
I've never done DC Improv. I've always wanted to do DC Improv.
You know what it is?
It's incredible.
The DC Improv?
Yeah.
It's great.
The low ceilings. I hear it.
And then they run it. They know what the fuck they're doing.
Right.
But I don't. Maybe it's that I don't want to work a room unless. It makes me more relaxed to think. This is insecure, but there might be truth behind it. So maybe we shouldn't poo-poo it too quickly. I guess maybe I don't want to call because, like, I want to... Now, if I had trouble getting work, I might start to take, lowering. But where I'm one of their favorites. And if they're not calling you, that doesn't mean they hate you at all. But they're not one of their favorites. You go, you might be. Oh, so you're their favorite. You had it. No. So that's why I probably, if they don't call me, I'm shy to call them. I have broken that rule a few times because there were people I knew in that city.
Right.
But overwhelmingly, then I'm like, ooh, what if they don't like me? What if they're like, he's a nice guy, but I feel bad. And I call them and then they're like, just to be nice, but it,
Nobody just to be nice books you. That's never happened in the history
of
booking.
Oh, I bet it has.
No, it's never happened. No one's ever, just to be nice booking.
If you're not horrible, but you're like, they'd rather have an easier act, especially now with the music.
What music? What are you talking about?
I have a little band.
Oh, you have a band.
Well, I only bring a keyboard player, but I use a local drummer. But I've been doing that for a little while. But it doesn't.
That's got to be so difficult to get a local drummer in every city that can do.
You know what? With Cam with me, it was when I used to. I've talked about this on the show before. With Cam or Duncan with me or who's someone on the keyboard, and they're also on two iPads.
Mm-hmm.
They know billions of things in their head.
Do you have somebody on two iPads?
It's not that.
I didn't know that was an instrument.
It's not that hard.
I didn't know you could play the iPads.
It's not that hard
to
teach a drummer. They amazingly pick it up because Cam's there or whoever's there. They know. They just go. And we also, I usually go in a night early.
Right.
I go in a night early so the next day we can go over around noon. I go, let's go over noon. We'll fuck around for 3 hours. Drummers pick it up right away.
Drummers. It's probably the easiest one to pick up. Yeah.
It is hard to do, to be honest with you, without it.
Yeah,
it makes it so special that now, like, I go, well, Indianapolis, like, the airfares were like $1,200. I'm like, all right. Ended up, I had to cancel Indianapolis anyway, which I hate at the Helium. I had to cancel that date, folks. But the airfares were like $1,100 each.
It's getting expensive. It's getting really expensive.
Yeah.
I love that you try to put on a show. That's why I play piano on stage. That's why I do that. It creates a separation. It creates, like, here's a comedy and here's a show, and we're making this an event.
Right.
I want people to leave going, we saw a comedy show. We saw a guy telling jokes. It was funny. Ha ha ha. I don't want people leaving going, ha ha ha. I hate that. When they walk out of the room, they go, ha ha ha. Ha 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 ha. I go, no. You saw an event. You saw something special.
Neil,
you saw someone
pouring
your heart out there, and you saw someone creating an environment, creating a vibe, creating just, you know, an experience.
Mm-hmm.
Not ha ha.
And that we talk.
You don't want that. I don't want anyone ha ha. No, don't do it.
Go, I'm with you.
That was an experience.
I'm with you. Let me tell you something. It's hard every time. Aristotle's going to hit me with a shovel one day. But I will tell you, I just experienced it again.
That bit. I don't like that bit when he hits you with a shovel. But
Daniel Kino had a show that he helped put together at the Improv.
Yeah.
And I was proud that he asked me. He goes, will you just do over and give it your spin? So I go over to the Improv. Luckily, there's a lot of really people that I love that work there, and a lot of the things that are done just because the people that know a lot about comedy don't have power over there. Mm-hmm. The people that know everything about comedy have the least power. So anyway, but nevertheless, they'll still do what I ask, and it's sweet of them. And I went over. I got there half an hour before Daniel. I walked into the showroom. It was comfortable. And then I go to Joe. I go, Joe, you know my theory on that, which I learned this at a comedy club. If it's comfortable before the show starts, you walk into a room, oh, this is comfortable, you're fucked. It's got to be too cold. Then it'll get comfortable. So we do that. And then the music in the showroom, he goes, what do you think of this for the lights? I go, yeah. He goes, and I have the house like almost completely off. And then I brought a set list of music, and I put it on my iPad, and it's just great fucking seating music. It makes you think this is not the normal world.
I hear it's 4,000 songs.
And I said, we were watching people come in. I go, they're going to sit here for an hour before the show starts. Look what they're sitting in. It's night's already begun, and it's free to do that. Mm-hmm. For an hour, they're sitting. It's a little darker. You see the candles on every table, and you hear music you have not heard in your car. For 1 hour, you have the responsibility to create something, an atmosphere for these people. And I see people fail fucking miserably to the point that there's no excuse for it. You don't have to know. But, like, where I see this, do you not see this at all? I'm talking about a full-fledged comedy club, but you see the way they, like, you've never been to a jazz club in New York City and went, oh, I want to make my place like this. What's going on?
You know, I think that's why New York is the mecca of comedy. The clubs get it there. They cater to the audience. Do you not agree? Are you disagreeing?
No, I was thinking more because I'm sure I think in New York overwhelmingly a lot of people get it.
I'm saying overwhelmingly. Of course, there's gonna be some there's gonna be that club in Calcutta, but Calcutta, New York. But New York gets I love New York comedy because they don't care what freeform show you're on. They don't care what movie you had a cameo in. You talked to Vin Diesel twice. They don't care about any of that. They care, are you funny? Are you going to kill?
You know what it is? I probably wouldn't like any club. For me, it's hard sometimes to go to even the good clubs because there's a lot of crowd work being done, and it really stresses me out. The funny thing is, it was never done at Largo like it is done at the clubs. It was never done at the M Bar like it was done at the club. It was never done at UCB. Like, there's something that there's a group of people that go, yeah, it's like sometimes I look at people in the audience and I go, they just sometimes, do I mean everybody? No. Have I seen someone talking to the crowd that I've laughed at? Of course. But overwhelmingly, I just see people, can I just watch a show?
I just want to turn off. I just had the worst.
And they're not wrong.
My life.
And comedians that I like eventually, I start getting. Some comedians I really like, and there's a crowd work video, I don't turn right away. I'm like, oh, actually, that's really funny. And because you've seen him do so much material that you're like, yeah, this is a treat. This is like, he's dealing with this. It's in the prompt to, it's impromptu. And you're, and then you see him go back to, and then eventually you just see, oh, crowd video. Oh, so that's what you're going to be doing now. And I don't know why. I think the best audience member hates it.
Yeah.
The best audience member hates it. The people who love it, they're the people I wouldn't want in my club.
I mean, I hear you, but there is a way to do it tastefully.
Of course.
There is absolutely a way to do it tastefully. And to,
but 75% of the time, no. I'm with you. I want to let you know I'm totally with you.
Yeah, you
that way, out of respect to comedians.
You're throwing 20%, you're throwing 10%.
They don't
fine,
go for the low-hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm.
They talk to the crowd. That's as simple as you can say. They don't go for the low-hanging fruit. I've seen it done where I've enjoyed it, but that's probably 20, 25% of the time. I'm being kind.
Yeah.
Where you see, no, that's the other 75 is just like a bully. Like, oh, I don't know. Right. What are you doing? You're on a first date. You stick it.
Yeah.
You stick
when you
your
hear
penis
this,
in
you
it.
Hear 17 people do it in the same night. Yeah. Right. It's like, hey, you guys fucking. It's like that guy, last guy did it.
Yeah.
That guy, Neil did it. He did it. That guy. So yeah, I agree with you. I think that, you know, but I do think it can be tastefully done.
Well,
I think you can
course,
do it. Yes, I think anything can be done correctly.
I didn't preface it because I thought you knew.
I don't know.
What if
Where
we have
I?
This, Megan?
Where am I?
Megan, you're coming to the show. Megan, we have your. We have this. This is betting music that is dedicated. It's called Megan Betting Music. Makes our show seem more like a Netflix special. Todd Glass and Neil Hanna. Sit down. How long are we in, Aristotle?
We are nearly at an hour and a half.
Wow. We
what?
Got
that flew. That felt like 7 minutes. Oh, my goodness. I think I just got here.
Somebody sent us the sweetest email years ago, and Lynn sang it. Megan... Megan's what was
Megan the Stallion? Is that was it Megan the Stallion?
Before the show, right? What is it, Snyder?
The Stallion. I think it's
yeah,
the
Snyder.
Snyder.
She sent it in years ago. This is just her email. My friend Lynn sang it. This is what her email said. It's nice. Sweet.
Yeah, I'm at the point where it basically hurts my heart to love the Todd Glass Show as much as I do. Yeah, I'm at the point where it basically hurts my heart to love the Todd Glass Show as much as I do. Ooh, I practically can't stand it.
Aww. We didn't forget about you.
No, I practically can't stand it.
I love this person because they're right.
I practically
all right, then. You know what? You made a big tried to be the star of that song.
It's beautiful. That was beautiful.
No,
I love
she
Megan
can't
the
stand
Stallion.
It. I know what she means. Mm-hmm. That when I listen to Kevin Meaney, I couldn't take it.
Right.
The fact that someone listens to this show, I hope that's what it's doing for him, for the people, you know, that like
I'm just
it.
Impressed that Megan Thee Stallion is a fan. That is phenomenal. That is incredible to me.
Who is that an actor?
It's a rapper.
A rapper?
Yeah, she's got a... very gyrating butt. I saw her live.
Oh shit!
I saw her live. I appreciated butts so much more.
Where did you see her?
I saw her at Coachella, and she was doing like butt acrobats.
Did you just go there this year?
Yeah.
Was it your first time going?
No. I've been a few times. I have a white girlfriend, and so we go every year. That's the law. That's the law. When you have a white girlfriend, you have to go every year. And we saw Megan Thee Stallion, and I see her music videos. I see her twerking, and then I saw it live, and I was like, that is. That's acrobatic. I'm seeing Cirque du Soleil.
I'm going to look at this tonight.
You're going to look at butts tonight. Guys, everybody, Todd's going to look at butts tonight.
But I can look at, you know, I can look at a lot of stuff.
And I appreciated it. It was fantastic.
I can. You know what?
Hey, girl, you like me a little bit?
Oh.
No, I don't even like you a little bit.
Come on, girl, you like me a little bit.
Not even a little bit.
Wait, don't you like me a little bit?
This has
bit?
A happy ending.
Ew, I don't even like you a little bit.
Huh, I heard you like me a little bit.
Well, maybe just a little bit.
Okay, just a little bit.
Yeah, she
isn't that
him
funny?
A
it seems like they're just going to like argue the whole time. And
yeah, she liked him a little bit.
This is great, this thing here. This is Lizzo Mumble. Scott.
It's about damn time.
Beady, beady, weedy, giddy, the weedy, beady.
He put these two things together.
Play it from
the beginning again. It gets funnier every time.
It's about damn time.
Beady, meaty, weedy, giddy, the weedy, beady. Beady, boo, boo, the boop, boop, boop. Fill the
for this was on Scott Henry's TikTok. Play it again. I just can't get enough of it. It's about damn time.
You know, that's who you would be runner-up to in American Idol, Todd. That's number one. I'm sorry. They take the cake.
Oh, God. Well, I guess we're done.
Are we done?
I know. It goes so quick.
By the way, this was incredibly strong.
I told you.
Very drunk. Well, I'm glad we're done.
Don't drink anymore, and we'll order some pizza.
I'm going to drink a lot more.
Megan, we're so excited to have you in studio. And you're going to meet Aristotle. If he's not here, it's because he doesn't care. But I already told him, didn't I tell you, Aristotle?
That I don't care?
No, I told you that someone's coming, and they'd probably like to, I'd like to have you here because they've been listening to the show from day one. And they're the reason the head engineer, one of the head engineers from Netflix, she's friends with. She listens to the show. I met her in Portland. I hope I have all this right. Mm-hmm. And then we were having sound issues, and she was my friend. He's like the head engineer at Netflix. I didn't know. He came down himself, and he's put it all together.
I also want to make it clear, I do care.
I know.
Todd just scheduled it on my double birthday, on my dog's birthday, and the anniversary of...
No, that's not next week. It's the week after.
That's when...
Well, listen, I understand. Don't worry. I'll edit this out.
Because I need her to know.
Could you edit the whole thing out? Could you edit like from minute one to an hour 12?
We're not releasing this.
Yeah, okay, great.
We don't release
it all
this.
Out? Yeah, thank you.
We don't release anything.
Can you edit me out?
Getting rid of these and then we're going to say goodnight.
Cross promotion. You've got season 3. Doo-dah, doo-dah.
I think you should leave on Netflix.
Got
season 3, ladies and gentlemen. This is our cross promotion.
Robinson, cross promotion. I think you should leave. Got season 3. Oh, doo-dah day.
Pop, pop. And there we go. We got that. The guy, did we play that ever for him? I know we did.
Neil, Neil, Neil.
Sound like a guy who scats,
Neil,
but only knows the word Neil, right? Yeah, you know, like Neil, 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 Neil.
Neil. How about if we wrap it up by listening to the song that we were going to play? That
live in the room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll find it.
Was that cool?
Yeah.
Neil, thank you. It goes quick, right?
That went too fast.
I'm here for this.
Okay. Well, how about if we play it? Let's play something.
I'll play it, but I just mean for context. He asked me the favorite song of this band.
Okay. Pup. You know Pup?
No.
They're
Pump?
Pup.
Pup.
Pup. Like P-U-P?
Yeah. They were at Coachella.
Oh, they were at Coachella? Okay.
They were at Coachella. But, you know, not nearly
the main stage.
Is this a good song to close? Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, throw it on.
We'll close. Yeah, we'll listen to it. We'll say goodnight. Thank you. It's icy roads out there tonight, folks. Be very careful driving out of here. Icy roads. Very icy.
Going in?
Yeah, we'll blend into it. Aristotle, thank you for doing what you do. Neil, thank you for being on the show.
Of course.
It goes quick. Vinny? Yo, Vinny. Vinny!
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 Hey, Vinny!
Hey, Vinny!
Hey, Vinny!
Yeah, and it might be real.
folks. But Rebecca, I know you're out there. You're like, is he talking to me? You know there's a Rebecca out there. Wait, I did just email him. Rebecca, I got your email. I will respond. It was very sweet. If you're like, well, my name's Rebecca, and I did just email him, but how do I positively know it's me? Oh, did your email have oh shit in it? Like the jingle?
Oh, shit!
Oh, Rebecca, here's Mr. Rogers.
It's you I like. It's not the things you wear, not the way you do your hair, but it's you I like. The way you are right now, the way down deep inside you, not the things that hide you, not your toys, they're just beside you. But it's you I like. Every part of you, your skin, your eyes, your feelings, whether old or new. And I hope that you'll remember, even when you're feeling blue, that it's you I like, it's you yourself, it's you, it's you, it's you I like. It's you I love.